into our study here in 2 Timothy. Basically, we're using 2 Timothy as a framework to study how... do I have sound? I hope I have sound. Give me one if you can hear me. But we're using it as a framework... Thank you. A framework to study how Christ led Paul to teach that the doctrine that Christ revealed to Paul and the gospel and the traditions should all be carried on, not just carried on, but passed on to the next generation and succeeding generations, down to us and beyond. And so we had gotten through the first chapter in the first lesson yesterday, and I just want us to review verse 1 of chapter 2 that we covered yesterday, and then go into to the second verse from there on. Starting with 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And then the second, let me just hold on a second here. That's not it. Okay, hold on. I was just going to shoot the verse list over. As long as someone's willing to post, that's great. Yeah, it's in the PM there. Second verse, "And the things," being the doctrine, the gospel, the traditions, he calls them some places, the scripture, "the things thou hast heard of me," Paul says, "among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." So, you have, I mean, he's saying it is a commitment. It's something you are placing trust in these faithful men to carry on the word, the gospel, the doctrine that was delivered to Paul, that was not known before Paul. So how long does that teach others also go on? How long does that go on? Let's look in Romans for that. Romans 11, verse 25. "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery." In other words, don't ignore what I'm going to tell you. It's a secret, but I'm going to reveal it. He says, "lest you should be wise in your own conceits that," and here it is, "blindness in part is happened to Israel." By the time he wrote this, they were partly blinded. That would be in Acts 20, verse 3. "Blindness in part has happened to Israel until something happens." So they're blinded until a certain time. "Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved." That's the nation. The nation of Israel shall be saved. Not saying every individual, but "so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Verse 27, "For this is my covenant to them, when I shall take away their sins." So, we're to continue to teach others also. Well, until the last believer is saved into the body of Christ. It says, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Well, what they're coming into is the body of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 12:13. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. So, that's still going on. When that stops, Israel's blindness will be lifted. They will begin to see. Well, God starts again working with man a different way than he does now. He starts again. He catches up the body of Christ to end the dispensing of the gospel of the grace of God. And then God will pour out upon the house of David. This is Zechariah 12:10. "Pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication." He gives it to them. He places it in them. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. As he comes down, they will see him, and they will recognize that he really is the Christ. He really is the Son of God that we crucified. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. So, and Israel's sins, it says in Acts 3:19 and 20 and 21, Israel's sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus. So that's when Israel's sins get blotted out. Ours are blotted out. If you're a saved person believing that Christ died for your sins and rose for your justification, and that is what God required to save you, you are saved, then your sins are blotted out. But Israel, they have to endure to the end, to in the end be saved and have their sins blotted out. It's different doctrine. And our doctrine is not found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where you find Israel's doctrine of having to endure, for one thing, and circumcision and the law is much different. People tend to have a mixture in their mind. It comes down that way, and people haven't been rightly dividing between Israel's doctrine and the body of Christ doctrine. They need to understand it, to keep from being confused. And basically, most importantly, that's what shows what gospel is to be believed today. And don't believe the people that tell you that there's only one gospel in the Bible. You can easily find out for yourself just by studying the Bible that there are more than one gospel. Mark 1:14 and 15 clearly defines the gospel of the kingdom as that it's here. What was promised back in Exodus 19 is here. It's within reach. It's at hand. Believe on Christ, that he is the Messiah. And, you know, very few did. The majority and the leadership of Israel crucified him. So, we're to continue to teach others until that last believer is saved into the body of Christ. So, until Christ returns to blot out the sins of Israel, let's keep propagating the gospel. You've heard the term, propaganda. It had been used by the communists, but it's a good word. It's passing on what we've learned, what we've been told, and what has been revealed to us. Us being Paul and those that study Paul and the revelation that Christ made to him for us. So, again, 2 Timothy 2, verse 2 is very strong about that. By teaching faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Well, what about the money? 2 Timothy 2, 6, partaker of the fruits. We'll get to that in a minute. But funding is part of propagating or passing on the gospel and the doctrine. Let's look at verse 3 in 2 Timothy 2. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we're going to preview the subject here. Look at verse 6 just briefly. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. So that's what he's talking about here. Living off the gospel, I think is a phrase he used in another place. But Paul continues in verse 4. We are at 2 Timothy 2, verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. What are the affairs of this life that it's talking about? This is referring again to the subject in 2 Timothy 2, 6, that he again refers to there. Don't want to mix them up, get them backwards, but he's talking about the fruits, the funding. giving to help others and to facilitate your own giving of your own money to get the gospel out, get the doctrine taught, to so that others can come to the knowledge of the truth. I used to take that verse 4 as being don't get wrapped up in the affairs of this life, not meaning earning a living or getting money to get food for, but rather going to movies and lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life sort of thing. But that's not what he's talking about. Look at the verse before it. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then after it, 2 Timothy 2:5, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. In other words, you can't win the prize if you don't keep the rules. And then he goes on to say, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. So all through that section, he's talking, after verse 2, he's talking about Timothy, don't starve to death there because nobody will pay. You preach some lessons about funding the doctrine. You should live off Paul telling Timothy that he should live off of the offerings for propagating the gospel, passing it on to others. And 2 Timothy 2:7 we're up to, consider what I say. It's a neat little compact statement that sounds like the scriptural advice to rightly divide. The only trouble is that's not the context here. Consider what I say. What did he say? He's talking about money through there. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And he's been talking about money. I take that to be all things regarding this topic we're talking about. Any area of it that comes up. So, since we practice keeping the context, and we teach others to keep the context, what would it say if we ripped this statement out of its context to summarize what the Bible teaches elsewhere that we are to rightly divide? We're to determine who God is, who's being spoken to in the scriptures. Just like Jesus, after the resurrection on the shores there, he said something to Peter, follow me. And Peter said, well, what about the man that thou lovest? And Jesus said, if I tell him, what did he say? If I want him to remain till I return, what is that to you? In other words, I gave you instructions, Peter. I'll give John his instructions. God gave Israel their instructions, and he's giving the body of Christ our instructions through Paul. So the Bible does teach it elsewhere. So going on with verse 8. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And that's one of the three places that Paul uses the term my gospel. The other two are in the Acts epistles, which goes to show that it's the same gospel message called the gospel of Christ when it was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But it's called the gospel of the grace of God when it's to all people later on. In fact, right now, that's what it's called. But it's the same message. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. That's how to be saved. Especially verses 1 and 2. Tells you need to receive it to your own condition, to yourself. What we're told in verses 3 and 4, that Christ died for my sins, for our sins. The wages of sin is death, and the death has already been paid. It's not hanging over you. Just believe it. So, but it's a great statement by Paul. that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And it's showing the difference between Israel's doctrine and the body of Christ doctrine. Look at Rome. We'll just look at two verses to show that difference, the difference in why Christ rose from the dead. Romans 4:25. Why was Christ raised from the dead? Who was delivered for our offenses. That's the same as saying, that Christ died for our sins. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again. Why? For our justification. That's the reason regarding the body of Christ, the reason why Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. What about Israel? What was the reason they were given regarding them? Acts 2 verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, talking about David, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Why did he raise up Christ? To sit on David's throne. To bring in the kingdom. Israel's promised kingdom. The kingdom wasn't promised to us. The rest of the world was not promised that they would reign over Israel or reign over the rest of the world. It doesn't make sense. How could the world reign over the world? It's Israel that would reign over the rest of the people, the Gentiles. Not the Gentiles that are in the body of Christ. They will already have been caught up to be with the Lord. I was going to say raptured, but that's not a scriptural term. They would have already been caught up to be with the Lord. And those verses make it plain to see that the resurrection of Christ was for a different reason for Israel than it was for the body of Christ. And regarding the gospel at the end of 2 Timothy 2, verse 8, he says, let me get back to there, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, and then verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Verse 11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. You know, you can relate that to Galatians 2:20. We are dead with him as believers. I am crucified with Christ. Christ died for my sins. And same for you if you're believing it. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And what does love do? It gives. He loved me and gave himself. John 3:16, same thing. For God so loved the world that he gave. He loved, and so he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, this is spoken to Israel, remember, whosoever believeth in him, that he was the Christ. That's not our gospel, that's Israel's gospel, that if they would have believed that he was the Christ, the Son of God, that he would have brought in the kingdom. Should not perish from the earth, but have everlasting life. And their life was promised on the earth. Israel was never promised heaven. All their promises were in the land, to rule the world in the land, on earth. Let's go to verse 11 again, and then we'll go on. It's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. And we do suffer with him. Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us the reigning. It's not talking about salvation there. It's talking about reigning. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Meaning, deny what it's talking about there, the reigning with him. And, you know, we don't deny him. According to Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. He's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So, what about if a believer fails to believe, stops believing? None of this is talking about salvation, is it? It's talking about reigning with him, about rewards. If we deny him, he will deny us a reward, the reward of reigning with him. What about verse 13, though? If we believe not, if we believers believe not, if we stop believing, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Believers that stop believing are still in Christ. He cannot deny himself. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. It's not something you choose to do, it's something you're made to do. Now you are the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27, and members in particular. So if you're the body of Christ, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. I endure all things that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So, preaching the word, we're not to strive about words, we're to shun vain babblings. And we'll look at the verses for those coming up here. Second Timothy 2:14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. People that hear you arguing about fine points and minor differences, it subverts the hearers. Don't do it. State what the Bible says, and don't be ashamed of what the Bible says. State it, but you know, Romans 1:29 says we're not to be debaters about it. We're to state the Bible, believe the Bible, study it, so we know what we're talking about. But you know, let it stand. If they've heard the Word of God, they have the opportunity to put their faith in it, or to reject it. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, you got to remember the context here of that verse, too. It's amidst the trouble and the doubters and the arguers. 2 Timothy 2:14 and then 16 read, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words, but words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearer, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word did eat as a canker doth eat, will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. So, those are two. It goes on in verse 18. In fact, let's just read it. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You know, you don't have to know all the doctrine, but just don't talk about what you don't know about. All you need to talk about is the gospel, basically. That's the main thing. That's the entry point. That's how you get saved. After you're saved, God's will is for us to come to the knowledge of the truth. And it takes study, but we're studying together. So, look at 2 Timothy 2:19 now. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. We can never be like those in Matthew 7:23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We can't be like that. The Bible says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth true, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Are we His? 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. We are His as believers. Believers that Christ died for our sins. You know, so many things happen at the moment you make that decision to believe. 70 or more things, you're imputed God's own righteousness. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're seated in heavenly places with Christ, in Christ. Your battle is no longer earthly. You don't wrestle against earthly flesh and blood, but against the spiritual darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. That starts the moment you're saved. So, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let's go to verse 20, 2 Timothy 2:20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth. Something popped up in front of me. Sorry about that. Some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. And remember, we've talked about what sanctified means. It's to be set apart, to have the impurities removed, to be single, pure, you know, set apart. It doesn't mean exactly the same thing as saved, although a saved person is set apart, is sanctified, set apart for heaven. And there are other things too that we're in the process of maturing in. But if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That goes right along with Ephesians 2:10. But let's go on with where we are here. 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man therefore, that's where what I just read. 22 then. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Strive not. Remember in 2:14 and 16, right around that verse that we are instructed, where we're instructed to study, in 2 Timothy 2:14 and 16, it says, strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearer. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Well, here in 23, he's still on the same topic. He says, foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. What are we called to do? Spread the word. Pass it on to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Fund the passing on of it. And we're to encourage others. Particularly those that we pass it on to and commit this to. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. That's a hard one, isn't it? patient. It's so easy to say, well, you had your chance, I give up on you. But the Lord's timetable is a lot longer than ours, I think. 2 Timothy 2:25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance or change of mind, to the acknowledging of the truth. Instead of rejecting the truth, they repent, they change their mind to acknowledge the truth. Nothing wrong with the word repentance, as long as we don't try to tag it with some meaning the Bible doesn't give it. That of turning our life around in order that the Lord can receive us and think we're good enough for Him. No. Repentance doesn't mean quitting all your sins so you can come to the Lord. Not at all. It means changing your mind about what is sin. That you are a sinner. That you can't save yourself from the sins or from the result of the sins. There was one thing I wanted to notice. I noticed up there, let me just repeat this 25th verse. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. There it is. When they're opposing the gospel, they're opposing the very thing that would help them, that would save them. They're opposing themselves. So, verse 26, we'll close with this verse, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. That's what he wants. He wants to destroy or wreck your testimony. He wants to wreck your witness, your ability, or your opportunities to preach the gospel, to teach others the doctrine being, you know, teaching, coming to the knowledge of the truth. So that's all I've got prepared for today. We'll carry on Monday.